The new episode of the Video Archives podcast dropped this morning, and I was listening to it early, like 4 a.m., while smoking a bowl and just kind of hanging out with my cat. And the first movie that they discuss slash review is Rodan, the Ishiro Honda movie, which apparently is the first kaiju movie that was ever in color, which I think is kind of a cool, fun fact. Now, this movie is available to stream on the Criterion Channel, which they don't mention, and I had screened it previously, but I decided to watch it again this morning to kind of go along with the episode, sort of as a companion piece of the episode, or maybe the episode is a companion piece of the movie, I don't know, but yeah, I was loving it. It was really fun. I was really enjoying it. I think I was kind of out of it because I was high and it was like 4 a.m. So I'm not remembering much of it, but I just love how it starts and it kind of comes in with that shot of the four guys walking along the train tracks. And it really does look and feel like a classic. It doesn't feel small. It feels big and classic and beautiful and sturdy, and it's just so well made, and Honda was a master. He really was. So that's Rodan, and that's what I was doing at 4 a.m. in terms of what I was doing earlier. And when I say what I was doing, I mean what I was watching. I was definitely on the Criterion Channel hard last night slash this morning. So Rodan, oh yeah, and the other thing I wanted to mention is this was kind of the big revelation of the podcast for me personally, was Attack of the Mushroom People. I think it's Attack of the Mushroom People. Yeah, pretty sure it is. Attack of the Mushroom People and Matango are the same movie. So this movie that I've been obsessed with, that I've talked about on the podcast, that I've watched over and over on Criterion streaming, that I can't stop thinking about, this movie that I love, my favorite Ishiro Honda movie this whole time, was Attack of the Mushroom People, which is this movie that I'd heard Tarantino talking about and praising, and I'd heard that he'd screened it and so on and so forth for years, decades probably. And now I've finally seen it and I'm obsessed with it and I love it, and I didn't even know it was the same movie. So now, thanks to the new episode of Video Archives, I now know that it is the same movie. Thank you, Video Archives. So as I said, I hit the Criterion Channel hard, and I watched, well, I started watching a movie called Dim Sum, something, something. It has a subtitle. The guy from Blade Runner, I'm still not even 100% sure it's him, but I'm like 98% sure it's him. The guy from Blade Runner is in it, who seems to be in all of these movies, or at least all of Wayne Wang's movies. It's Wayne Wang, who just confuses me. Like, how many movies has he made? Is he the same guy as this other guy? I used to confuse, like, way back, I used to confuse him and Wim Wenders. It was like the two W's, but now I don't confuse them because it's just like two completely different eras and countries. But in terms of Wayne Wang, yeah, I don't know. His movies bore me a little bit. They confuse me. I can't really get into them. And I'm also just confused about how many movies he's made and how he's been able to stay independent this whole time, which he seems to have done, which is admirable. It is. So that's Dim Sum. And then I switched over to Take Aim at the Police Van, which is a Seijin Suzuki movie from, I was going to say 1968, but I think it's like way earlier. I was going to say 1958, it could be 1960, 1963, I don't know. But this movie's amazing. This is the beginning of the genius period for Seijin Suzuki. It's the beginning of his prime, his period as a master, and the period that he's most known for. So basically from this until, I think until the end of his career, I could be wrong about that, Because I know Branded to Kill was his last movie with Nakatsu, I believe the studio Nakatsu, who then fired him because of the movie. And then I want to say he never made another movie, but I think he did, either independently or with another studio. Anyway, I'm not sure, but he had a string of great movies. It really started with this, or you could say this was kind of like the precursor, but this does have genius in it. I mean, it's not as good, but it's like the next one is Youth of the Beast, okay? Which is incredible. And that's probably the first masterpiece, but this is like the one that led to the masterpiece. So it just has these amazing shots in it. It's so cinematic. It's beautiful. Take Aim at the Police Van. Essentially about I guess it's essentially a heist movie. It's sort of about they plan this group of thieves plan to rob this, I guess, police van. That's why it's called Take Aim at the Police Van. I don't know why they decide to rob that sort of van of all things. I don't know. Or maybe that's what they're calling it and it's an iron car. I'm not really sure. Doesn't really matter. What matters is Suzuki's visual style and just kind of the vibe, the setting. Yeah, it's a cool movie. Not quite on that level of like the other or like the masterpieces, but still amazing. Yeah, so that's a great collection on the Criterion Channel, the Seijin Suzuki collection. And I think that's gonna do it for me. I'm Maxwell Haddad. This is Video Nasties. Thank you for listening. Peace. So to elaborate a little bit on Attack of the Mushroom People, also known as Batango, this movie is described by Quentin Tarantino in the new episode of the Video Archives podcast as the one with the creepiest story. And he's referring to the cinema of Ishiro Honda, the movies of Ishiro Honda. And he's right, this one is the one with the creepiest story. So basically, it starts out with a guy in some kind of like interrogation room, and he's telling the story of what happened. So then it employs this flashback structure, wherein we go into the past, we being the audience, and we see this group of people on this yacht, and it kind of starts out, the first part of the movie is just, we're just following these people. And I know I did a whole episode on this movie already, before I even knew that it was the fucking same movie, Attack of the Mushroom People. But anyway, I'm rectifying that now, now that I know. So they're on this yacht, and it kind of starts out with their kind of interactions and their little dramas playing out, and it's kind of like this drama with like some comedy thrown in about just this group of people, I guess, vacationing, yachting. These kind of, I don't know if there's like two couples, maybe they're married, I don't remember exactly. Anyway, they end up, so it starts out with them on this yacht. And it's just kind of about them. It's just kind of like, sort of like a little character piece. And then it turns into this shipwreck movie when they hit this storm one night and it shipwrecks them on this island, this kind of mysterious island. And they end up discovering another shipwrecked ship where they find this strange fungus growing inside. And they find these mushrooms, these giant mushrooms, both on the ship and on the island. I think a couple of them ingest the mushrooms, something like that. It's been a while since I watched it, obviously, but I will be watching it again. Probably tonight, actually. Just talking about it puts me in the mood to watch it. So they ingest some of these mushrooms, and there are these kind of strange mushrooms, and the people. This group of people begin to turn into mushrooms themselves, the ones who have eaten the mushrooms, and they become part of the island, essentially. this is what happens, is they ingest the mushrooms and then they start to become part of the island. So they start to turn into mushrooms themselves. And there's this really creepy, really memorable sequence where two of the people who haven't eaten the mushrooms are walking through this kind of, not a field, but this just this area of the island that's just covered in these weird sort of like surrealist giant mushrooms. And he sees, or this man and this woman see, like, one of their shipmates kind of like partly turned into a mushroom there or something. I don't know. I forget all the details, so I need to watch it again. That's Attack of the Mushroom People, also known as Matango. Go back and listen to that episode of the Video Nasties podcast if you have not already. This is Video Nasties. I'm Maxwell Haddad. I want to close out the episode in uncharacteristic fashion. I want to talk about NPCs. Now, it's not like me to get all hipster on your ass and start talking about, I don't know. I mean, I do talk about cultural things, but anyway, I don't know. This just popped into my head for some reason. I had heard this episode of Red Scare where they talk about NPCs a little bit, and this is a phrase that has been thrown around for a few years now, and I never really knew the meaning. Turns out it comes from the world of gaming. Non-player characters are the characters that aren't you, the main player, or someone who you're playing with. They're the kind of like side characters that just kind of exist there. And in the real world, an NPC is someone who doesn't really have opinions of their own, and they're just kind of spouting off things that they've heard other people say. And I never wanted to be an NPC. I used to kind of like have this persona that wasn't really me, and maybe some people thought I was an NPC, but I really wasn't. And it's just interesting. I've encountered a lot of these people like this. I've encountered a lot of such people. I don't know if that's proper English, but I've encountered such people before. I encounter them a lot. They just sort of repeat phrases that they've heard, and they don't really, there isn't a lot of original thought happening in their heads. But maybe it's unfair to even talk like that about other people. Part of me thinks that, I don't know, maybe it's like the hippie part of me thinks that we should just love everybody and just be generous all the time. And it doesn't matter if you're an NPC and you don't really have your own opinions, just as long as you're a loving person. I don't fucking know. Maybe that's like a part of me. And then another part of me thinks that it's of the utmost importance to have your own opinions and your own thoughts, and I was going to say your own takes on things. I don't think it's of the utmost importance to have your own takes, but I think it is important to know what you like, and it's just as important to know what you don't like. This is Video Nasties. I'm Maxwell Haddad. Thank you for listening. I should be back tomorrow for more fun. See you in hell. Peace. Also, I have a favorite track on Maps. I think it's Babylon by Bus featuring Shrapnel. I think that's my favorite track right now. I like that part of the album, that kind of section where it gets sort of weird and dark and the beats get kind of like abstract and eerie. I love that shit, and I love the next song on the album. It's probably my second favorite song on the whole album, which is Year Zero. Every track is strong on this album, by the way, but I love those two in particular. Babylon by Bus featuring Shrapnel and Year Zero featuring Danny Brown, who's got a great feature on this album. I like, what's his name? Aesop Rock, the famous underground rapper. This is a great example of underground rap, by the way, which is one of my favorite genres of music. I just love dirty, weird beats. Kind of creepy, sketchy stuff. I love that. So, stuff kind of bubbling up from the underground. And this is one such album. And I just like the dark, dirty, dingy basement beats. So, That's kind of what it sounds like to me on those two tracks. I think Danny Brown's feature is maybe flawed slightly. Maybe it doesn't quite, he doesn't quite stick the landing perhaps, but at the very end, but I still think it's great. And I think the beats on this album are very interesting. I don't quite know or understand how Kenny Siegel created them. I think there's some definite kind of like cool synth work, and then the drum tracks are all tight. And then there's even a little guitar on a song that's actually called Soft Landing, which I think is their number one track on Apple Music right now. Talk to you soon.
This has been a production of Reptilian.